Dinner at our household is fairly typical. Our children grew up learning that song, "Today is Monday." That is, every day of the week has a dinner plan. So we learnt that Monday's sausages, which is actually better than what the song says. If you Google it, you'll find out that Monday is actually string beans. It's Tuesday's spaghetti, Wednesday's soup. Dinner at our place has never been quite that regimented, but last Thursday it was special. Fish pie. Kathy had built expectation in the morning and we knew it was coming. And late that afternoon, we'd finished our cricket training and we'd gone into the clubhouse there at Ulverston with all the other players. We were sort of sitting around there and we noticed that there was probably something like 20 to 30 hamburgers or chicken burgers being prepared for everyone. And as much as it was very tempting to sort of have one, I could tell in the eyes of the boys, come on. I said to them, no, boys, how could we do that? We have fish pie at home. Mum's made an extra effort to get the fish pie. It isn't Friday fish today, it's Thursday fish pie this week. Dinner is served waiting for us at home. Now, we all might be able to remember a time and the blessing it is to have a special meal together. Maybe we've gone out to a restaurant. There's been some special event that we've been to, or even a special effort at home. A special meal is often accompanied by a special person or special people in our lives. And this morning is our final sermon in our worship series called True Worship. And over this last month, we've been looking at true worship in the congregation. What does true worship look like when we meet on Sundays? If true worship is to be the whole of our life for the Lord Jesus, to be the living sacrifices, what is that to be in the congregation where we belong? And last week we thought about this, didn't we? Our true worship in our singing and music together. This morning, true worship in the congregation, in the Lord's Supper. What is this special meal that Jesus has instituted? What is he doing in the Lord's Supper? What is the church at Corinth doing in the Lord's Supper? And what are we doing in the Lord's Supper? The night before his death, Jesus is in the upper room and had the once a year Passover meal. And there he's instituted the Lord's Supper. The Passover was the old covenant sign, the remembrance meal to God's people of his great redemption, how he freed them from slavery in Egypt. The meal included a lamb without blemish and unleavened bread. It was unleavened because the Israelites needed to leave quickly. And the lamb for its blood to be put on the door frames of their home to turn away the judgment of God being poured out in Egypt. He passed over their homes. The bitter herbs were included to recall the bitter suffering in slavery in Egypt. And during their exodus, God commanded the Israelites to remember this with a special meal. But there in the upper room, Jesus gives this full significance. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Passover meal was a sign pointing God's people back to their redemption. The Lord's Supper is the sign that points us back to Christ's death on the cross, that our redemption was paid. But also to point us forward, to look ahead, for Jesus tells us in Matthew 26:29, "I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom." Jewish families over the centuries had kept this tradition, the heads of households would take the unleavened bread and say, "This is the bread of affliction our fathers ate as they left Egypt." Now Jesus took bread and used words, "This is my body given for you." He did the same with the cup. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you." And from now on, the disciples would remember Christ was their Passover lamb, sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus established a new covenant with his people in his blood. Through this lamb, God frees us from our slavery to sin against him, who gave his life for them at the cross. And here is why and how you and I can worship God truly. In response, to lay down our lives for him and for one another. Our lives are his. But what does Jesus mean when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood"? More ink and blood has been spilled over the answer for this one than any other question in church history. The Roman Catholic Church takes Jesus' words literally, teaching transubstantiation. I'm sure we may have heard of that one, but it's a mouthful. Where the priest there is re-sacrificing Christ for our sins, so that Christ is on the altar again as the priest prays those words of consecration, the words that Jesus gave in the upper room, and the whole substance of the bread and the wine changes into the body and blood of Christ. And people receive Christ as they take the elements. What Jesus is referring to in the upper room is not his body before their eyes, not his resurrected body, but his crucified body. Bible commentator John Stott puts it like this: "In the Lord's Supper, the bread is broken. It stands for the body of Jesus, not as it lived in Galilee or in Judea, but as it was broken or given in death on the cross. The wine is poured out. It stands for the blood of Jesus, not as it flowed in his veins while he lived, but as it is shed on the cross." Think of it this way. There I am, I'm sitting at the dinner table with my family, and I'm trying to explain a car accident that took place on the Bass Highway near Devonport. I pick up a knife and I put it on the table. "That's the tow truck that was there. The tomato sauce bottle, that's the red car that's come off second best. There's a salt bottle, that's the van that's on the side of the road. And look, fancy that, there's a tape measure there. How'd that get there? Well, that's the police car, all right? Now look, what I've done is I've created the scene, haven't I? I've explained what I saw. And so when I pick up the tape measure, no one's thinking, "Oh, that's a police car there." No one's thinking that. I'm not speaking literally at that point. And nor is Jesus. He says, "This is my body. This represents or signifies my body sacrificed for you." And so Jesus fulfills the Passover. There's no need for us to celebrate the Passover. That's not our worship. We celebrate the Lord who is our Passover lamb in the special meal he gave, that we might not forget the sacrifice of Jesus, how much he has loved us while you were an enemy of God or a sinner of God. Christ died for you. "This is my body, this is my blood given for you." So now, what is the church at Corinth doing in the Lord's Supper? And as you read the Corinthian letter, and just earlier in that chapter, you see that the apostle has much to commend the church there following the things that he's told them about. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it's a schmozzle. They're just trying to sort of reconstruct the situation that's going on in 1 Corinthians 11. We seem to have an elite group in the church, a wealthy group in the church, and they had much. And when the church had the meals, you've got these well-to-dos, and they brought their food from home and they ate in front of the have-nots in the church. They were distinguishing themselves from the rest in the church. Those with heaps, gorging themselves in the presence of others who are going hungry. We've all had the potluck dinner. Everyone's bringing something to share. Well, this isn't potluck cuisine in Corinth. It was creating division around the meals that they were having together, and they were calling that the Lord's Supper. How? Says Paul. And so he admonishes the wealthy in the church to feed those who are without when the church is together for its meals. For the Lord's meal is meant to tell every participant, rich or poor, you are someone precious to God. The meals at the church in Corinth communicated that some were worthless nobodies. There was indulgence, indifference. There's a contrast. Bread is taken. The Corinthians take on their own behalf. Jesus takes on behalf of others. The Corinthians act selfishly, and Jesus acts unselfishly, giving his life for others. The Corinthians' actions will lead to their condemnation. Jesus' action leads to the salvation of others. So what they were doing wasn't proclaiming the Lord's death, and Paul wants to remind them, what the Lord told me, I've passed on to you, recalling the self-sacrifice of Jesus. Remember the crucified one gave his body and blood to death on the cross for you. How can you not be self-sacrificial to others in the church? How can you not be gracious? Generous to others. Give yourself and your resources to others. And everything they do in their meals together should line up with Jesus' self-sacrifice for others. Nothing selfish about that. And if they continue in this wrong practice, eating and drinking in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, they're going to be, it says, guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. They're coming under his judgment. And now there are two tests for worthy participation where he says, examine yourself. That's the first test. Examine yourself. The cross offers a different standard. So stop thinking highly of yourself compared to others. There's no class distinction at the Lord's table. Everyone is a distinguished guest by the distinguished one. All blameworthy before God, all forgiven at the cross, all share at the table. Examine yourselves and secondly, discern the body. The body to be discerned isn't the bread on the table, but the body that comes to it. The elements of bread and cup remind us we depend on Christ We are interdependent on each other in Christ, to give to one another in Christ with compassion like Christ as his unified body, and proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes. And so then, what are we doing in the Lord's Supper? What are we doing? And unlike the Corinthian context, we don't have people sort of missing out in the church meal. I was pretty confident that everybody had enough to eat at the family fun night on Friday. And nor do we sort of bookend a meal that we might have with the bread and the cup and then call that thing the Lord's Supper. We could do it that way, but we don't. We're taking a sacrament. It's a holy sign. It's a seal of grace for our benefit. Augustine said famously, the sacrament is a visible word, a tangible word, a visible sign of invisible grace. God is saying in the Lord's Supper, you are mine. In Paul's day, seals were often used made of wax, and it had the stamp in print to confirm the identity of the owner of that document. And official documents and letters typically bore those seals. A king would send an official letter. You dare not break the seal to look in the contents until it reached the destination intended. The seal confirmed the identity of the sender and secured the contents of the letter. And this is what we see in the Lord's Supper. It confirms our identity. We are God's. We belong to him. You belong to him. We are secure in his love and in his covenant commitment to us. As words are said, they give the elements significance. Those elements become visible words to us. The gospel word we hear of the cross and the forgiveness. And in our hearts, we feed on Jesus, our Saviour. We find spiritual nourishment again in the gospel. We're comforted. Those beautiful words of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil. That he protects me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. We commune spiritually with Christ according to 1 Corinthians 10. We participate with Jesus and each other in him. And as Jeff has so helpfully put to us, let me remind you, we look back. As we do, it's right for us to pause, to wait, remember. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus has promised to nourish our faith. He invites us to come. Look back, remember what Jesus has done. Look up. Look up to Jesus. Our risen Lamb has triumphed over death. The bread is broken. Jesus, our Passover Lamb, was slain for us. See the wine. His blood was shed for our forgiveness. He has secured our salvation. Finished that work. Now he lives. Look up. Look in. Is there sorrow for sin? He suffered for it, because of it. Jonathan Edwards says, We contribute nothing to our salvation except our sin that made it necessary. See again how we cannot save ourselves, that we deserve God's judgment for our sin, which means we look to our Saviour, that in the Lord's Supper we look back, we look up, we look in, look at the elements. Jesus, our Saviour, gives them. Receive them. Feed on Christ. Receive his benefits. Trust in his merits. We are united to a most gracious host. Be thankful for such love, such grace. Renew your commitment to walking in new obedience with Jesus. The Lord's Supper reminds you of his faithfulness. Look at the elements. Look around. That is, our eyes are open. We see each other. Jesus has reconciled us to God. We have peace with God. We are reconciled to each other. To serve each other. In sacrificial love to each other. To Jesus and his people. Look around. Look ahead. Of the kingdom banquet. Of sharing with the Lord and with each other in pure fellowship. And until then, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look out. We look out to our community and to our world. Going into it with the good news to share. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our true worship must be Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, in truth. And in the Lord's Supper comes the visible reminder, to whom do you belong? And for whom do you serve? Who said, take and eat. Who is giving his life for them. Would you give your life to Jesus in true worship? And would you offer him your life? Would you serve his people where the Lord has put you? Would the Lord's Supper remind you to offer to God your true worship? I'm now going to pray a prayer of dedication. And you may like to remain seated for this as you pray with me this prayer in your hearts. It's perfectly fine. But you may like to, with me, stand. And thereby physically showing and affirming to yourself and to one and to each other, I am the Lord's. I belong to him. And I want to serve him. It's entirely up to you, and I'm going to lead us in this prayer now, and if you'd like to stand, please do, and we'll pray the prayer now. Let us pray. And here we offer and present unto you, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and our bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice to you. And although we are unworthy through our many sins to offer you any sacrifice, Yet we pray that you will accept this, our bounded duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offences. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Father Almighty, world without end. Amen.